honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and a special episode marking the 82nd anniversary of the Doolittle Raid on Tokyo. We've been listening to memories recorded years ago with David Thatcher, who was depicted by actor Robert Walker in the famous film 30 Seconds Over Tokyo. You've heard Mr. Thatcher's memories of the raid, but let's hear it in the words of the President of the United States from David Thatcher's citation for the Distinguished Flying Cross.
The President of the United States of America takes pleasure in presenting the Distinguished Flying Cross to Corporal David J. Thatcher, United States Army Air Forces, for extraordinary achievement as engineer gunner of a B-25 bomber of the 1st Special Aviation Project, Doolittle Raider Force, while participating in a highly destructive raid on the Japanese mainland on 18 April 1942. Corporal Thatcher, with 79 other officers and enlisted men, volunteered for this mission, knowing full well that the chances of survival were extremely remote, and executed his part in it with great skill and daring. This achievement reflects high credit on himself and the military service. David Thatcher also received the Silver Star for gallantry in action in his efforts to save his crewmates from the B-25 ruptured duck after it crash-landed in China. That was one of 16 B-25s on that unprecedented mission. 80 men total, 52 officers, 28 like Thatcher, enlisted men. Of that total, 3 were killed on the mission, 8 more became prisoners of war. And of those POWs, 4 died in captivity, including 3 who were executed by the Japanese.
It's been said many times that Doolittle believed, after he landed famously in a pile of dung that saved his ankle, he said that the mission was a failure because it didn't do that much damage. All the planes were lost, and he expected to be court-martialed when he got back. Was that a thought that entered any of your minds, or when you heard that he had said that, what was your reaction?
No, I'm sure it wasn't. We all figured it was a successful mission. And
when you finally did hear about what happened, about how many guys got out of there, saw how big of a deal it was for America to have that strike on Japan, did that give you a sense of pride, of accomplishment? Did that make you feel good?
Yes, it did. We just figured it was another mission. We didn't figure it would be that important.
I think it's pretty important. I think that's probably been a hammered home for you many times over the years. But there's so many things I could ask you about with the other Raiders, too, some incredible stories. What are you most proud of with that group of men? And when you think about the kind of people that they were and what they represented, if you had one paragraph, a nutshell version, to encapsulate the guys that you served with, what would you say?
It's been a wonderful group of men to keep track of all through the years, seeing them at the reunions.
Thank you so much for sharing those stories with us. Thank you for serving our country.
May I say some more?
You can say whatever you like.
Our oldest son was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he was killed in February 1970 at the age of 20.
And I'm sure, and I don't want to delve too deep for anything that's too painful for you, but I'm sure when that happened, it was another reminder that easily could have happened to you.
That's right, yes.
Is there anything special that you do to honor his memory that you like to share about him?
Well, his name is on the Vietnam Memorial that's here in Missoula for the state of Montana. And he's buried at the Sunset Memorial Gardens. So.
And his name is one of the more than 58,000 on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington, D.C. And David Thatcher always made it clear that his son's supreme sacrifice meant more to him than any of his heroics in World War II. Again, that was our interview from years ago in Missoula, Montana, with Doolittle Raider David Thatcher. While none of the Raiders are still with us, at the California Veterans Home in Fresno, California, resides a 104-year-old named Jane Boot. That's not far from where you can find General Doolittle's actual uniform at the Veterans Memorial Museum, home of the Legion of Valor. And as a nurse on the officers' ward at Walter Reed Medical Center in Washington, D.C., Jane treated some of the Raiders when they returned to the States, including David Thatcher's pilot, Ted Lawson.
Yes, Ted Lawson had, of course, Dr. White was with that raid, and he amputated Ted Lawson's leg because it was infected in China, so that he and I think another guy Thompson, I think his name was, had dislocated shoulders, apparently had gotten, when he landed in the straps from the parachute, dislocated his shoulders. So I think they were the only two patients we got from that.
I don't want to keep digging too hard, and if you're done talking about it, let me know, but I'm interested in this because, you know, now all of the Doolittle Raiders are gone. The last one died about a year ago, Dick Cole.
Yes.
But in that moment, you're seeing physically what had happened to them, but the reality was it could have been a lot worse for them. That they knew they couldn't go back to the carrier. This was
right.
A one-way mission. They didn't know what was going to happen if they landed somewhere, if they didn't get shot down in those B-25s. Did knowing what they had done, the courage that it required, did that have an effect on you as you're caring for them?
Oh, yes. Yeah. We really honored, and these guys were great.
So you were talking about Ted Lawson. Do you know where he's from? Do you know where he grew up?
Yes, in California.
Right here in Fresno.
Fresno?
Yep.
I remember when his wife died, I was living in San Jose.
Now, as you're caring for these guys, do you talk to them at all about what they'd been through, or did you hear any stories about what it was like to crash land in China and try to get back?
Not really. They did not talk a lot about it. Just that, you know, it was a distressing time for them.
How severe were the injuries they were dealing with?
Yeah, I think we just had those two patients. Of course, we saw the other guys occasionally. They'd come to visit. And one of them, I think one of them had mental troubles, and they couldn't find him for a while. Doolittle spent a lot of time finding that guy because he, you know, didn't know who he was. I guess he finally located him. I remember he was so distressed because he wasn't in uniform. Of course, by that time, he'd probably been through sets of clothes getting where he was. And he ordered new uniforms for him, and even his back pay, he insisted they come and give him his back pay. So I thought that was being very considerate.
Well, the other thing that comes to mind is, I mean, we know that, as you just said, that was more of a symbolic victory. It didn't devastate the enemy militarily, but it proved America can hit Japan. And there was a price that was paid for that hit on Japan, and you were looking at it. I mean, you saw
right. This
guy's life was never going to be the same. Is that and I have friends that are nurses, that they see traumatic things, I know. As a young woman,
right. To
look at someone who just gave up a piece of himself for everybody else in the country, what kind of effect does that have on you?
Well, I don't know. Of course, I really honored these guys. I thought it was, I thought I was privileged to take care of them, which proved to be true.
What was your rank at the time?
I was a first lieutenant by then.
Well, the reason I ask is because I understand. You mentioned that some of the other Doolittle Raiders would come visit these guys while they were under your care. And I understand that you tried to kick a private off of the officer's ward before you found out who he really was?
He came on the ward dressed like a buck private. And I had just been assigned to the officer's ward, and I was kind of full of it. And so he was talking to another guy. Anyway, I walked up to them, and I was going to say to him, you know, why are you in this officer's ward? You know, what's your business here? And along came this guy who was a spit and polish, all dressed up in uniform and insignia and everything, calling out to, And then I didn't realize who he was at first. I should have recognized him, but I didn't. I didn't expect to see him, I guess. And anyway, this guy calls out to him, oh, you know, General Doolittle, no, not at all. It's the end of it. I'll be in Alaska. But he was very nice. Put his arm around my shoulder. I was just doing my duty.
So,
very gracious guy. Of course, I got to know him quite well then. He came often to see his boys that he called up.
Well, I guess that gives you a taste into what he must have been dealing with, too, his celebrity during this time.
Yes.
I mean, because when he gets back from that, he's given the Medal of Honor.
Right.
His picture's on the front page of every newspaper. He'd already been famous before the war as an aviator.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he felt he had to be incognito to see those guys, apparently.
Probably.
That's a pretty good claim to fame, Jane. I kicked General Doolittle out of the officer's ward, or at least tried to. Well, and you mentioned that you got to know him quite well. You know, he's someone that a lot has been written about and said about. You saw him in a time where I'm sure his heart was shining through.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that you observed about Jimmy Doolittle?
He was a very humble person, really. He didn't flaunt his status or his claim to fame or anything. Seemed to be very concerned about other people, and especially his boys, and came often at night when he would be out for something else. He'd stop, see them. So I admired him a lot.
Well, I bet you also got a view of what that meant to them to have him there checking on them.
Yes. I think his men all knew that he was their prime concern.
And speaking of Ted Lawson, the plane that he flew that day was called the Ruptured Duck. They have a representation of that in Hawaii. If you go to the Pacific Aviation Museum, they have the Ruptured Duck there. But he then was the person, if I'm remembering right, wrote the book,
right.
30 Seconds Over Tokyo.
Yes.
Which then became a movie. Were you still in the States when that was coming out, or were you already overseas?
Yeah, no, I was, I can't remember where I was, but I remember about that had come out while I was there. Yeah, I was still here.
So that must have been a little surreal to go to the movies and...
And what, yes.
You had a connection to this guy.
Yeah, they did a very good job. It was actually, of course, I think that Ted insisted on being kind of a director in that. He didn't want a lot of false stuff. And they did pretty well until they got to the end, and they just couldn't show a toothless Van Johnson who was playing his part. They just couldn't bring themselves to do that. But Ted, he lost all his teeth when he went through that windshield. That was the only part that really wasn't true.
Now that I hear you mentioning that, I guess I should have had you describe for our listeners who aren't familiar with it, since here's a patient you're caring for and you're informed of everything that had happened to him. Can you describe for us, as you understand it, what happened to him at the end of that mission, that one-way mission to Tokyo?
He tried to make the coast, but didn't have enough gas. So that's why he landed on the, like on the beach. But beaches aren't very good landing strips. And when he hit the beach land, sand stopped the ship, and it threw him through the windshield, and that's when he lost his teeth.
So you're caring for a guy who's lost all of his teeth and lost one of his legs.
Yep.
What were his spirits like?
Actually, he was in pretty good spirits. His wife came to see him. He didn't want her to come, but Jimmy Doolittle insisted that they bring the wives in. And he got so excited when he saw her, he jumped out of bed and fell flat on his face because he forgot he didn't have a leg.
Wow.
So, but that was true in the reported that because I saw it.
And she is the last person alive today who can say that. Again, that was Jane Boot. You can access her complete original interview at hometownheroesradio.com. There are tributes to General Jimmy Doolittle and his Raiders in many places around the country. One of the most powerful is at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, where there's a bust of Doolittle right outside of Doolittle Hall, and inside an exhibit explaining several aspects of the mission, and also where some of the sports teams this year, like the Falcon baseball team right now, have worn special Doolittle Raider-themed uniforms. I think it's safe to say that General Doolittle would be pleased to know the heroes who flew that one-way mission with him 82 years ago this week have not been forgotten. Thanks for listening to this special edition of Hometown Heroes today. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.